This week on the show, the Red Sox heavyweight bout in Houston ends in a 2-2 draw with the Astros. What went right and what went wrong? We'll answer those questions. Plus, talk about your hottest takes from Twitter. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. I got a problem today, Lovewitz. You can ask me what it is, or...
No, I'm self-absorbed. So, no. What is your problem, Alex?
Well, first, this is the Calling It podcast, powered by CLNS. Calling It does not care about your personal problems.
Never.
We are just here to talk sports. Maybe a little other stuff, too. We'll see. We'll get into it later. The hot takes of Twitter segment. But my problem, Lovewitz, relates to the Boston Red Sox. I am on record on this show last week, on the CLNS Red Sox roundtable earlier in the week, pretty much all over the place, as all over the place as I can get, saying that I was going to base my entire opinion of the 2018 Red Sox regular season, not the playoffs, but my opinion of the team going into the playoffs was going to be based on this weekend series against the Astros. That if the Red Sox had gotten swept, I would be on here today saying they can't win the World Series. If they can't beat Houston, what's the point of all of this? Forget it. If they had swept the Astros, I'd be on here telling you where I'm going to be standing for the parade. But they split the series. So now what do I do?
I think you got to be, somewhat pleased. They hit really good pitching very well. And that's nothing to scoff at. You go up against Justin Verlander and you get a W. That's huge. You get him out of there by the seventh inning. That's huge. I thought they did a pretty good job this weekend. I think the pitching was, at times shaky, especially with Chris Sale, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
But overall, you got to be happy with how the Red Sox have played. And I think right now, June 4th, we know what we have with this Red Sox team, and that's a legitimate World Series contender that has a legitimate shot of representing the American League in the World Series.
I think they have a chance. I'm still not convinced they're the best team in the American League, record withstanding. I do still think it's going to come down to them and the Astros. If they want to win the World Series, they have to beat the Astros. I'm not worried about them beating the Yankees. Not only do I think the Red Sox can beat the Yankees in a best of five or a best of seven, they wouldn't have to play them in a best of five, though. They might. They can beat the Yankees in a best of five or a best of seven. Or another team could. They might not have to face the Yankees. I'm not sold on that. What I am sold on is the fact that if they want to get to the World Series, the road goes through Houston. And that's the team they're going to have to beat. And I'm not encouraged or discouraged. They still have a chance. I just don't really know where I am because we saw two very distinct teams this weekend. We saw the team on Thursday and Friday and the team that could hit the ball on Saturday and Sunday. Now, they are dealing with injuries. They don't have Mookie Betts. J.D. Martinez got pulled from the game Sunday night with what looked to be a back injury, although it sounds like that's not going to be too much of an issue. But, this team seems very up and down to me. I will say this. I am now officially worried about Chris Sale because he was not good again.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to be completely worried about Chris Sale. It's definitely worth noting. I mean, the past few starts, he has not been all that consistent. He hasn't been the guy you can rely to go, seven or eight deep. His pitch count's been going up, and it seems like he's been nibbling a little bit. You want him to be more aggressive. You want him to be better, and you want to have to rely on him more than you have been. I think he will come around, though. He's shown us that in the past. The bigger concern for me is how will he be later in the season, but that's for a different discussion. Overall, not too worried about Chris Sale. I'm worried about the health of this team. You mentioned J.D. Martinez being banged up, Mookie Betts on the DL, Dustin Pedroia on the DL. They have problems, but overall, people are starting to hit right now. Their pitchers are starting to pitch. I think it's Stephen Wright Tuesday night over the playing the Tigers, his first start of the season. He's been good out of the bullpen.
And I think some of that has to do with, just to go back to Chris Sale real quick, they're mm-hmm. giving the bullpen two extra days of rest. You have the day off on Monday and then adding a Stephen Wright start on Tuesday. I think that's done for Chris Sale to give him a full week of rest. I think that's part of the reason they're doing it, and I'm all for that.
Yeah, I don't like putting pitchers out there and having them throw 100 to 105 to 110 pitches every outing. I think there's a time and a place. You get into the seventh, the guy's dealing. He's at 98 pitches. Okay, send him back out there. That's fine. But to throw him out there in the sixth inning when he's already at 100 or the seventh inning when he's already at 100, I don't like that. I think they should try to conserve Chris Sale and this goes back to a discussion we've been having. Bullpen. They need help in their bullpen. And I think Stephen Wright did a very good job as a long reliever, but they still need one or two more additions so that their starting rotation isn't tired come August. That's the bigger concern than will Chris Sale be good to go. I think Chris Sale is a great pitcher. I think he'll come around, and when it really matters, you'll see him throw like he's capable of. What I'm not very confident in is will he be healthy? Will he be 100% at the end of the season? Right now, it's a slump. That's all it is.
It's just tough sledding for him, and I think part of the problem is he's a guy that, and we know the strikeout numbers, but his stuff is so nasty that he can leave it in the strike zone, and even if the guy hits it, he can get out. He can pitch to contact and confidently get out. His stuff hasn't been in this last month what it's been his previous time in Boston. If he can get that back, I'm fine. But we all know the way Chris Sale throws the ball. We've seen it. I mean, TJ, is that in the discussion here? Is that so? That's what I'm not saying it looks like that, but you know, look at the guys that Dave Dombrowski has traded for. Look at the way Chris Sale throws. This guy's elbow is not invincible.
Yeah,
that's just what I'm getting. And it goes back to your pitch count thing. I'm fine if they start giving him more time off because I think it's wear and tear on that elbow.
Yeah, and you know, Tommy John.
I was trying not to say it.
I don't know if that's gonna happen. But you do see a lot of people talk about him like he's this mythical like figure, like, oh, he can throw so hard and he's only 125 pounds. Like, this is crazy. Like, yeah, at some point, maybe there'll be some give there. He does wear down as the season goes on. Maybe he's been due for some type of surgery. Who knows? But you've seen it in the NBA. LeBron James, in the years past, he's taken 2 weeks off at a time. Why not skip two starts for Chris Sale in the middle of the season?
I don't think he will.
Well, that's just
that he's more of a competitor than LeBron James. We'll talk about that later in the show. I don't think he'd be okay with that.
And is that really ever done? That's another concern.
No, and you know, because part of it is once you get in the season, you need to keep throwing. And I'm not saying I don't want this to come off as send Chris Sale down, Phantom DL. No. Those are safe for the David Prices of the world and the Drew Pomerantzes of the world. All I'm saying is maybe his next two or three starts, you pitch cap him at 80. You pitch cap him at 5 innings. Even if he's throwing great, you say, look, Chris, we just need you throwing a few less pitches here, and it is what it is.
Yeah, and even if he does sit out 2 weeks, being in game is valuable. Like, that is a big thing. But you can still keep your arm active. It's not like you're not throwing for two straight weeks. You're still throwing. You're just not going out there and throwing 100% for 100 pitches.
I think that's a little – I still think it's extreme, though, to take your second-best pitcher behind Kimbrel. And I am sticking on that point. I am very proud of that take. Take your best starter out of the rotation for 2 weeks because of a bad month, I think is a bit overreactive. Now, let's say they try pitch counting him, or they try this thing giving him 7 days of rest, and he has another bad month. Then, you know, next we talk about it in a month from today, 4th of July. How about that already? Yeah. Maybe around the 4th of July we can talk about Chris Sale taking a couple weeks off. I'm not ready to go there just yet.
A lot of it also depends on the division race. They're only, again, it's June 4th. They're only a game ahead of the Yankees right now. And winning percentage-wise, they are behind the Yankees. So is it really worth risking that lead to give Chris Sale, you know, that start? It's much easier, or Chris Sale, the time off. It's much easier to win a five-game series than it is to win a one-game series. And that wild card spot is a big drop off from winning the division. So maybe it's not worth it. And maybe that 80 to 85 pitch cap that you just alluded to, maybe that's the way to go. But one thing's for sure, you cannot overwork him. And it's evident that he's lost something. He's not pitching 100% right now. He's not throwing as hard. There's not as much bite or consistency on his slider. And that's got to be directly correlated with how much he has been pitching.
Let's go from the most concerning part of that series to the most encouraging part, and that's the lineup. I mean, look at the guys who had the biggest hits in this series. Christian Vasquez had the home run on Saturday night.
Benintendi.
Andrew Benintendi, who's been ice cold, seems to figure that. I mean, both the home runs he hit, but the one he hit Saturday, my God. You got big hits from Brock Holt. You got big hits from Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, look, Martinez did his thing. Moreland did his thing. Right? The guys who you expect to hit. But you got contributions up and down the lineup, all nine spots, at least two of the games in this series. I don't know if you can say that about the Red Sox at any other point this year, that their lineup 1-9 was contributing.
Yeah, and I think we've seen a massive turnaround from the guys that we were concerned about originally. Sandy Leon, I'd say a month ago, he's hitting like 150. Right now, he's 253. Vasquez, we just talked about him. He started to pick it up a little bit. So
he's
that,
over 200, I think.
Yeah, and so that catcher spot, which was the worst offensively in the league, has really started to pick up the slack. And I figured that would happen. They were better than what they were playing like. Jackie Bradley Jr., I mean, he's going to hit well sometimes.
He's hot. You know what it is. Just embrace it while it's here.
Exactly.
That's literally, seriously, make it count while it's here. If Jackie Bradley's hot, they should be winning two of every three games. And then when he goes cold again, whatever. But while he's hot, they should be winning a lot more often than not.
Absolutely. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it, for sure. And Benintendi, who I think is the biggest breakthrough. I want to say since April 25th, Jared Carrabas had a tweet about this. He's been hitting like 351, eight home runs, something ridiculous. He's turned it around. And Andrew Benintendi is someone that you just watch him play. You know
right. You knew it was a slow start, but it was still kind of waiting for him to break out of it. And the big one for me is Brock Holt,
who was 319.
Two for four on Sunday, three RBIs. He's hitting with a little bit of power now, too. And if Pedroia is going to stay on the DL, and I think this trip now is a lot longer than 10 days, I think we're looking at least another month. It's going to help. It's really going to help to have that guy, because Eduardo Nunez, do you know Eduardo Nunez is close to setting the record for the most plate appearances without a walk in Red Sox history, most consecutive plate appearances? It's up to like 160-something.
Isn't that part of the reason we love him, though? He's just so scrappy.
He doesn't make contact.
Yeah, but
him and Devers couldn't hit a beach ball right now.
That's okay. That's true. Endeavors is a concern. One person we didn't mention who's playing very well.
Do we just want to list the roster?
We could, but this is one guy who I think we should mention. Who I want to say is one of the most underappreciated player in the past half decade on the Red Sox roster. That's Mitch Moreland. I think he's
big Mitch Moreland guy over here.
I like Mitch Moreland. I think everyone likes him, but no one really gives him the credit he's deserved. He's a consistent 20 home run a year, 25 home run a year guy, and you know what you're going to get from him. He's a gold glover, and right now he's hitting .305, went 3-for-4 in last night's game, in Sunday night's game as well. So, yeah.
The thing with Mitch Moreland, there were people who wanted them to drop, $20 million a year on Eric Hosmer this offseason as a replacement? And they're paying Moreland what? He's putting up better numbers.
He is. And you know what? It's funny because Brian Borders, one of our friends, he was the one who said Mitch Moreland is better than Eric Hosmer. Not a better investment. Not this is a better deal for the Red Sox. No, he's better. Flat out, just a better baseball player than Eric Hosmer. I laughed at it hysterically. And I thought he was a moron. Brian does know a lot about baseball. I probably should have trusted his opinion. He's kind of being proven right. And I don't want to go as far to say that Mitch Moreland's a better player than Hosmer. He's older. He's probably doesn't have as great of numbers career-wise. But this year, he's playing really well. And he's really, really embraced the fact that he is the number one guy at first base.
It's making the Hanley move look somewhat okay.
Even given the Betts and Pedroia injuries.
All right, so Red Sox right in the thick of things. Schedule gets easier again now, and then they got the Yankees at the end of the month, June into July. So, you know, until then, I guess you just hope, win two out of every three? At least win the majority of the series from here on out until you get to the Yankees. And if they're still ahead in the division by the time they get to that series and they can stretch it to four or five games heading into July, feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, heading to the All-Star break. It's a good spot to be in.
All right, so earlier on Monday, we reached out to Twitter. We wanted your hottest takes of the day. We'll go through some of those next. Keep it right here. You'll listen to Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
All right, so it's time for this segment again, Hot Take Monday on the Callin' It podcast. We sent out a tweet this morning. We wanted the hottest takes on Twitter today. We got some good ones, as always. Start with a take for me, and then a take from Lebowitz, and then we'll get into the ones on Twitter. Lebowitz, start with yours.
Okay, my take, and this is kind of going off of the latest Dustin Pedroia injury updates. His contract expires at the end of 2021.
He signed that massive eight-year deal a couple years ago. It's like 15 per.
Yeah, 15 per, give or take. By that point, it'll be 13 or 12. And so I don't think he's going to make it. He'll be 37 at that point. I don't think this is really that hot of a take. People forget Dustin Pedroia is 34 years old. Like, he's not a young buck.
34 years old with a history of bad wrists and a bad knee.
Yeah, and it happens every year. He's not going to play – he never plays over 130 games in a season, and he won't for the rest of his career regardless of what happened. That seems like a fact at this point, not even a hot take. I think he's going to call quits eventually. I think he's starting to get old. He's starting to get beat up. He's the longest tenured Red Sox in the locker room. I think he feels that way, and I think his playing career – is coming to an end. Maybe not after this season, maybe not after next season, but I give him the 2 years after this, max, I think he'll be done. I think he'll call it quits, hang up the cleats.
I mean, I thought the wrist injuries were going to get him at some point. I didn't think it would be the knee, but I'll buy in on that. The guy's old. He's old. Most people don't play as long as he's played. Remember, he came up very young. He's been playing now for 11 years.
Not that young, though. Like, you look at Devers. Devers is 20,
21. That's a whole other story. But, no, Pedroia came up relatively quickly.
Sure.
And, yeah, he hit, what was it, 307 2 years ago?
He's still talented.
He hit in the 290s last year, but it was an 18-point drop in batting average. Even at 290-something, an 18-point drop in batting average concerns me. If he drops another 18 points this year, he's hitting in the low 270s, another 18 points next year. And this is if it's a steady decline, not an exponential decline. If it's just a steady decline, he'll hit in the 270s this year, in the high 240s to low 250s next year with no power. Is that worth it?
It doesn't seem like it. And I don't know. His bat speed's definitely slowing down. He's slowing down in general. He's still an unbelievable defensive second baseman, one of the best in the league, which is a testament to his work ethic.
Not to take away from his career, he's a borderline MLB Hall of Famer.
Eh.
I could see the Red Sox retiring his number. Like, he's had an outstanding career, but so did David Ortiz. I'm not calling for David Ortiz to come back. I'm not calling for them to put Pedro Martinez back on the mound. He gave up a home run to Julio Lugo in the alumni game, the worst hitter in the last century, statistically. There is a number that proves that. I hate Julio Lugo. I don't know if you know my Julio Lugo history. I cannot stand that guy.
It's not hard to hate
him. He was so bad.
I think that, well, first of all, just to address Ortiz, I would gladly accept.
Well, yeah, okay. But you know what I'm like.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Just because somebody's a legend doesn't mean that they get to start forever and ever. Look at what's going on with the Patriots and Brady.
Yeah. Although he seems like he can. I think he's done relatively soon. I think internally, maybe they're getting sick of him in some ways, especially after last season as a leader. You can talk about that. That's a whole nother discussion, but he's clearly less effective than he used to be. And the retirement of David Ortiz showcased exactly why. So we'll see. I think he's still a productive player. I still think he'll be a good addition to the lineup, but he's not going to be in the two hole. I think he'll be a bottom third guy.
He's done winning Silver Sluggers.
Yes.
That those days are behind him. And look, we'll see. If they take a middle infielder in the first five rounds of this draft, you know, heads up. Especially if it's a college guy.
I think they might do anyway. Well, college guy is definitely different than a high school guy because it's going to be quicker development. But I think they're probably going to be looking there anyway. And not only because of Pedroia, that could be because of Bogarts, too.
Right.
They got some guys there.
They got C.J. Chatham is a guy that they like, a shortstop.
They're going to have to move
Chavis
somewhere.
Well, Chavis, I think, is only a third baseman.
We'll play it first, probably.
Maybe.
Day.
We'll say
Sam Travis, who knows.
You could break down the MLB draft for hours. Okay. It would mean nothing. All right.
Next hot take.
My hot take of the day is not my usual scathing take, but it is something that I am very into. I am optimistic about Madden 19's franchise mode. Now, I know that take doesn't have a wide appeal, but let me explain. Madden franchise, since they switched over to, what is it, the third-gen console, whatever the Xbox One and PS4 are, it's been not great. They've done a couple cool things, but overall they've never gotten back to that heyday of Madden 04, Madden 05, Madden 06, and it's been a disappointment. In my opinion, I think a lot of people would agree, franchise mode is the best mode, whether it's online or offline. The draft sucks. The scouting means nothing. Free agency is kind of warped. You can get whatever player you want. The in-season stuff is really static. It's been disappointing. You don't really feel like you're building a team. It feels like you're just playing a video game. Whereas, I mean, you look at the 2K franchises right now, they couldn't be any more in-depth. It's outstanding. But Madden's got a new guy in charge of their EA brought in a new guy to run the franchise. And they're out this weekend, I mean, talking to 2K, calling out 2K, saying that the Madden franchise this year will be unparalleled. Some of the details came out, and there'll be more later in the week, that they've added customized draft classes, which is awesome. That's something 2K has talked about, adding some scheme stuff. They finally updated the depth charts. They added modern positions. So instead of just wide receiver now, it's outside receiver and slot receiver. They've added pass rushing, defensive ends. They've caught – Madden is now starting to catch up to modern football, which it had been very behind on.
Yeah, it's very boilerplate.
There's still – most of the playbooks still are based out of an under-center set, which is antiquated at this point. But it seems like they're trying to starting to catch up to modern football. Franchise mode's taking another step forward. And look, they're calling out 2K. You swing at the king, you best not miss. So I'm excited. August 10th, it comes out.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm going to get it. I'm always iffy on that. And I haven't gotten it in a couple of years. I didn't get this past season, but I got the one the year before. I love it, but you are right. Franchise mode is super easy to get past. Like,
I mean, 17 to 18, it was copy and paste. They changed nothing.
Yeah, oh, was it?
Yeah.
And I love franchise mode. Drafting?
I do, too.
Drafting is and it was super easy because all you would do is trade down or trade for next year's pick, and you get two of the same round.
Oh, yeah, no, you'd end up with like 20 picks in a draft.
Every year.
It's so easy.
Every year.
I don't know if you ever played ESPN NFL 2K5.
I vaguely remember
that
on PS2.
So Madden...
Was that Terrell Owens? Or,
yes. So Madden scouting, what it is now is you don't get to pick what you scout. You choose the player. You have a certain number of points. There's no way to affect how many points you have. You just, every team has the same number of points. And you can spend up to 15 points on a player. You get three random abilities of his. And that's all you get for scouting. That's it.
Yeah, so
ESPN 2K5, mm-hmm. It was actually, there was like a combine process, and you chose what you wanted to scout about what player, and it gave you like 40 times and vertical jumps. And like, there was actually, it felt like, I sound like such a nerd right now. It sounds like I'll be playing this on a lot of Saturday nights coming up. I know that for sure. It actually, you know, there was a scouting element to it. Madden now, yeah, it sucks. The scouting, so like that kind of part, that part sucks.
Yeah, the scouting is, it's different. I think it's not that far off from 2K. I think they're kind of, 2K, the only, it's like a percentage thing. Like you get every.
Well, 2K basketball is different than what 2K football was a few years ago. 2K basketball does an amazing job.
They do a decent job. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It seems like every 2 years, each of these games makes a big jump, and the in-between years are similar to the previous one. So you think, given that Madden 18 was very similar to the previous one.
It was even similar to 16. It's really been 3 years. They're due,
for
an overhaul.
A big change.
So.
But where's it going? Like, do you ever think about, in regard to media in general, and just how far we've advanced in regard to quality?
It's getting deep.
Like, where is this going? Like, I think high definition and, like, the what are they called, 4K TVs, they're pretty remarkable in quality. Like, I can't – how does it get better?
No, it looks beautiful. But, I mean, still, the artificial intelligence on the game isn't great. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still certain plays that no matter what, you run them, they always work. It's just they got to get more and more in-depth with the programming until it really – you play Madden enough, it does get repetitive. As in-depth as it is right now, you know, eventually the playbooks will get deeper, the route trees will get deeper, and eventually they're going to try to reach a point where it's indistinguishable from the real game. When the artificial intelligence is to the point that you can play in another human being, but then the computers can think like human beings, and then the world ends. So I'm
it's
in no rush
slope
to get there. All right, that was we did like 10 minutes on those two takes. Okay, let's go to the takes of Twitter here. Let's start with this. I want to end with that one. No, let's start with this one. This is from Connor on Twitter
at Connor Wine.
At Connor Wine, he has a weird feeling. So it's not a take; it's a feeling, but we'll count it. I have a weird feeling LeBron stays in Cleveland. I need more information here. What is this feeling based on?
Well, you know what? It's easy to dismiss this one. But the reality is there isn't one destination that you look at and you're like, that's a perfect fit for LeBron James.
There isn't, but I can tell you Cleveland's not where he's going. I don't know where he is, but it's not Cleveland.
I don't know. Who depends what they do this offseason. I don't think it is.
They can't do anything. They have no money.
That's true.
They have that one pick. Did you see the video? It's like a 2-minute, 17-second stream of LeBron, George Hill, and J.R. Smith in game one coming over to the bench at the end of regulation, LeBron realizing that they had a timeout to use, and then just looking off into space for a minute and a half.
Where was Tyronn Lue? Yeah.
He hates it there. He hates it. He can't get out quick enough.
But will he like it anywhere? Like, I feel like...
Better than Cleveland.
Don't get me wrong. Cleveland is a dysfunctional organization with a mediocre coach at best and an incompetent owner. Obviously
garbage not a roster.
And a garbage roster to boot. Obviously a bad spot to play. But he's comfortable. He made it to the finals for the eighth straight year, whatever it is. And he's still playing like the best player in the world. And again, there's no destination that you look at and say, that's where he's going. Last week, Jordan Schultz, he brought up the Lakers. Basketball move-wise, I don't think that's a great spot for him. Maybe Paul George goes there, but we saw how he did in Oklahoma City this season. They didn't get too far. And I don't know if he'd have enough there to topple the Warriors.
I think it's the Rockets. I think it's got to be the Rockets.
The Rockets makes a lot more sense. Do they have the cap space? I don't know.
They can figure it out. There's some way they can maneuver it. I mean, they'd have nobody left but Harden, LeBron, and Paul. But that's a hell of a lot better than what he's playing with right now.
That's absolutely true. But what does that look like? Like, how does that stain his legacy?
His legacy stained enough. It doesn't matter at this point.
We gave him crap when he went to Miami. Yes, we gave Durant crap when he went to Golden State. But this seems like a whole nother level, and I don't know. The reality is people who hate LeBron will continue to hate him, and people who like him will continue to like him. So maybe he's not taking into consideration his legacy in a basketball sense, which it would make an argument that LA is the destination for branding.
So yeah. Can I piggyback Connor's take here with one of my own?
Go for it.
LeBron and Kevin Durant will be playing for new teams next season. I think KD's out in Golden State. I think he's sick of it. I think he really regrets that decision. He doesn't look happy. He hasn't been playing well in the big spots. He really hasn't.
Wait, repeat that? You think...
Kevin Durant, he keeps signing these one-year deals. And I think the reason is eventually he's going to talk himself into leaving. I don't know where he's going, but I think he's done with Golden State. Especially if they win a title this year, he's got his two rings. He wasn't there the first time.
I don't know. I think he likes it there. I think he likes being a guy who can sit back and let others take control. I think he likes the fact that there's other superstars in his market to take the load off. And I don't think he's really tough enough to start over.
All I know is Dan Lifshatz from 98.5, who's kind of an NBA whisperer. He's on top of some of these things out of nowhere.
Very aggressive on Twitter. I like
it. Yeah, he tweeted out. He's your kind of tweeter. Yeah. He tweeted out 2 weeks ago, just out of the blue, it's going to be a major offseason for NBA superstar movement, more than we know. And then he went down two lines at Warriors. Now, Steph's not going anywhere, and I know he doesn't think Klay Thompson or Draymond Green are superstars. He thinks they're stars. So, all I'm saying is, tea leaves? Maybe. We'll see. Another NBA player movement take. This one comes from Mark Matterai on Twitter. This is something we've talked about a lot on this show. He takes a new approach. The Celtics will not only not re-sign Marcus Smart, they will also trade Terry Rozier this offseason. So next season, no Smart, no Rozier, both gone. Smart walks for nothing.
That's a hot take. I mean, they're keeping one of them. You think that they're keeping one of them.
They can have Marcus Smart for $6 million this year with the qualifying option. I don't see how you don't do that.
I think both Rozier and Smart will be on the roster next season, given their contract situations and the qualifying offer that they'll in all likelihood extend. So it's really a question as to next year what's going to happen. I can't see them parting ways with both of them this year. That just makes no sense.
I still think they trade Rozier this summer.
I think that is the likely thing to happen. And the only way that they would do that is if they get in the top five of this draft,
yeah.
Which I don't know if they even have enough to do that. I think they do.
I'll say this. If both of those guys are gone, to Mark's point, if Smart and Rozier are gone, it may not be as cringeworthy as Celtics fans would feel it to be, because it means they probably brought in a superstar. If those two guys are gone, it probably means Anthony Davis or Karl Anthony Towns or Michael Porter Jr. or DeAndre Ayton is here.
Yeah, I mean it's about the young guys that they'd get. They'd get a draft pick. I don't think they'd get an established star right now, but they'd continue to get younger.
Well, not necessarily for those guys, but they may have to trade those guys to get the cap to bring in the big name.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
Look, I think if they move those two guys, it's another spectacular offseason. the spectacular offseasons have been good for the Celtics thus far, but still no title. All right. How about a football take here, Leibowitz?
Give it to me.
Middle of the offseason. This isn't really a new take, but we'll discuss it. Billy says the Patriots traded the wrong quarterback.
Really?
Eh.
That's media.
Who are you talking about here, Brissett?
That's low heat.
that's low heat. Yeah. Tom Brady's still the best quarterback in the league. That's my take.
I agree with him. I think, if you're talking about the future, they absolutely traded the wrong quarterback, and Brady has been proving that. Although there was a report that came out today, I saw it from Jeff Howe, that said that Brady and Gronk are ready
to return to camp. They're going to be
And the Patriots have known about this for weeks. So maybe they've just been trying to mess with the media for the sake of it, and there's not as much drama as what's been led on. But regardless of that, yeah, Garoppolo was the move. I mean, Brady, he's getting older.
If you win another Super Bowl, can Garoppolo win a Super Bowl with this current Patriots roster? He doesn't throw for 510 yards in that Super Bowl. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, he wins a Super Bowl for this roster eventually. But another thing is, he's taking a lot more money than Brady does, so you wouldn't really have enough cap space to buy the other guys you need.
All right, that's all we need to talk. That topic, honestly, is getting beaten into the ground. All right, this comes from Nick Mecca on Twitter. Even if they, the Capitals, win the Stanley Cup, Barry Trotz will not be their head coach next season. I mean, that would be extreme, but the NHL has a history of doing things like that.
It's kind of like Doug Peterson in a way. Like, he was so close to being fired with the Eagles, but then he won the Super Bowl, and everyone forgets. He's a great coach. He's amazing. I don't know. I think you win the Stanley Cup. Maybe if you leave on your own, then that's fine. But
maybe if he gets fired like halfway through next season, if they don't start off well.
You buy yourself at least one season.
The way the Caps have been in the past 3 to 5 years, I think if he gets you to the Cup, you got to hold on him for a little bit.
I think so. Good hot take, though. No one would think of that.
No, that's a hot take. That is, I mean, nobody's talking about that. Yeah. That's a good one from Nick. Nick's actually got another two.
He had a hotter one, yeah.
Yeah, we got a couple non-sports takes. John Cena will become a bigger movie star than Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson's the biggest star on the planet.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how big John Cena can get that he would surpass Dwayne Johnson. Look, I'm no entertainment expert. But I don't think, I think that would mean John Cena's the biggest movie star on the planet.
Yeah, that would be a better way of getting to that point. John Cena will eventually be the biggest movie star on the planet.
Isn't it saying the same thing?
It is, yeah. And so
I don't see it.
I think John Cena is really funny. I actually do like him. But he
was one of the best SNL hosts in like the last 5 years. His episode was amazing.
He was great. But you know what? He's a little short. He's a little too bulky. He's got to thin out if he's going to be, a big time.
Look at Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson's massive.
But Dwayne Johnson's not short. Like, he's a big, intimidating figure. I think the height plays a factor in stardom unless you're Tom Cruise.
No, that's fair.
He could become a massive action movie hero, but he's a funny guy. He could do comedies, too. Can he be a leading man, though? I think we have yet to see it.
He was in one action movie, 10 years ago. That was, WWE produced. I don't know how well it did, but... Until people start calling for him to run for president, I don't think he's as big of a star as Dwayne Johnson.
I agree with that.
Right? Until people put him on a ticket with Tom Hanks, a presidential ticket with Tom Hanks. I don't know. All right. We got one more here before we wrap it up. And Leibowitz, you're going to need to give some backstory into this one. Sam Cooperman at Sam Coop on Twitter. Pears are greater than apples. And I think there's a backstory here you may need to enlighten us with.
Yeah. We had a massive Twitter argument.
This goes back months, right?
This was maybe eight to ten months ago, I want to say.
And you guys can't figure out what the better fruit is?
Well, we were talking about fruits and vegetables and just ranking them.
Is a pear a fruit or a vegetable?
Pears are fruit.
Okay.
But you brought up carrots in the call on it response, and he piggybacked on carrots, then brought up hummus. It was a whole thing. And hummus, of course, made from chickpeas, which is a bean. Not in the conversation. Anyway.
Well, aren't peanuts a vegetable?
No,
isn't a legume a kind of vegetable?
I think
it's pronounced legume.
It's legume. Yeah, I know you're right. I think I don't think so. I think maybe technically.
We need a botanist in here. Can we get a botanist? Can we get a botanist in here?
where's Matt Damon? So that was a Martian reference.
I got you there.
So this stems back a while ago, and just long story short, it was an argument to see which was the best fruit, which fruits or vegetables stunk. In my opinion, pears stink. They're not worth anything. The consistency is gross. The flavor is non-existent. It's cardboard, in my opinion. The nutritional value might be great. I don't care about that, though. I want flavor. And if you're comparing them to apples, which he's doing in this situation, it is blasphemous.
It's like comparing apples and oranges with pears.
It's blasphemous, Stephen A. Smith voice, to allude to pears being superior than apples. It's not even a conversation. You have apple-flavored candy because apples taste good. They're sweet. Have you ever heard of a pear-flavored candy?
Not that's consumed by anybody under the age of 65, no.
No, exactly. It is disgusting. Have you ever heard of a pear pie? Is the expression as American as pear pie?
Pear pie sounds like something you shouldn't say on air.
It sounds like a swear because it is blasphemous. It is disgusting. It is gross. And anyone who says that they are superior to any other fruit, let alone apples, it should be institutionalized. That's just my two cents.
I've never eaten a pear.
Good. Stay away from
it. I don't know if you watch Always Sunny. I'm like Charlie Kelly. I've never eaten a pear. I like apples. I like apples.
Can you try a pear and then report?
How do you like these apples?
How do you like these apples? Isn't it a good one?
That's two Matt Damon references in like 5 minutes.
This is a Boston.
That's pretty good.
This is a Boston podcast, so it makes sense.
I like strawberries are fruit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Strawberries my favorite fruit.
So the big – okay, here are the ones – like tomatoes. Tomatoes, they're vegetables.
I'm not a big tomato guy.
I love tomatoes.
I like ketchup.
But are tomatoes a vegetable?
I don't like tomatoes.
Are tomatoes a vegetable or a fruit?
I don't know.
I think they're a vegetable, personally.
What are potatoes? Do potatoes count as a vegetable or a starch? I actually got an argument with somebody about that.
Potatoes? Like, potatoes, I think, are vegetable.
I said I was eating vegetable with dinner, and they're like, no, it's all starches. This is start my freshman year of college, real quick, and then we got one more late take in, and then we're out of here. It was my first year in college, like first week, and I didn't know if I'd like any of the food in the dining hall or whatever, and I was playing it very safe, and I came back to my table with French fries, mashed potatoes, and home fries. And I got so much crap from my friends for eating nothing but starch. I was like, no, it's all vegetables. It's all good. And they claimed it was starch. I think it was an all-vegetable dinner. And I stand by that.
We got to get someone on here to talk about it.
We got to get a botanist.
I am a food guy.
Where's Abdul, our resident scientist? By the way, he's got a new podcast coming out tomorrow. You can check that out on clnsmedia.com. All right, Evan, at Evan Milo on Twitter, late hot take Monday take here. I kind of wish we had some more time for this one. David Price is the most important player on the Red Sox for the rest of the year. I might have to agree. I might, not best. Far from best, but if Chris Sale's going to struggle the way that we think he may struggle in the next couple of weeks, yeah, don't they need David Price to continue to be the guy he's been these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, you definitely do. And beyond Chris Sale, I think Chris Sale will pick it back up, unless, of course, it is health-related, as we alluded to. Drew Pomeranz is even a bigger concern, though. He's someone who...
He's bad. He's bad.
Has been bad. But like last year, he was an all-star caliber guy. The year before that, he was an all-star. So he's a good pitcher. Will he pick it up? I think that's a big question, and I think he can. But, yeah, you need to have at least three very good starters heading into the playoffs, and this is one of the reasons why the Astros concern me far more than the Yankees do, and one of the reasons I think the Red Sox will outlast the Yankees this season, although that does stem on the production from the starting rotation. Not only Chris Sale, but will Porcello keep it up? Will David Price keep it up, and will Pomeranz pick it back up? And can Stephen Wright even round off that rotation, or will we have to rely on Eduardo Rodriguez? Will he, come back to? Will he ever be the guy that we hoped he'd be? Who knows? But it all starts and ends with that starting rotation. You can point at David Price as being the guy, but I think Pomeranz plays as big of a role, and obviously Chris Sale, his production is vital for the Red Sox to succeed.
This is a text I got from somebody when Drew Pomeranz was pitching on Thursday. Watching him, Drew Pomeranz, pitch is exhausting. There are guys who suck but are fast at sucking. Drew Pomeranz sucks, and he's slow while he sucks, and it's killing me.
That is valid.
That's pretty fair. All right, only a two-segment show. We're right at where we cut off last week. I can see here on the timer. So that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. Obviously, more Red Sox talk. And who knows? Into the great green yonder we go of the summer sports. What, you got something?
Yeah, next week we could be like done with
With everything?
With everything but baseball. Could be the dog days probably begin next week.
All right, so we'll finish that pear and apple discussion next week then, of course. You can mark that up. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Callin' the Podcast. Check us out online, clnsmedia.com. And you can follow them on Twitter as well at clnsmedia. For Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. This has been yet another edition of the Callin' the Podcast. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.